County Fair season is almost upon us, but before those events arrive, we have the Oregon Country Fair to talk about. The fair seems to some eyes like a throwback. 50 years after the Summer of Love, it seems like hippies reemerging from the woodwork for a gathering. There's more to it than that. The Oregon Country Fair returns to the woods near Vineta next weekend after the 4th of July, and we get some history and a preview from Charlie Ruff, the general manager of the fair. Charlie, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, it's absolutely a pleasure to be back with you, sir.
This started as a Renaissance fair, as we pointed out a bunch of times. Did anybody back then think that this is the kind of thing that would have the durability that it has proved to have?
Well, you know, I'm still in contact with one of the original founders of the fair, Cynthia Wooten, and Cynthia has said to me several times that she had no idea that it would take on the life that it took. You know, I think somewhere about the 25-year mark, people really started to realize that the fair was here to stay. And as you mentioned, we are creeping up on 50. In 1969, we'll be celebrating, just a couple short years, we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Wow. How long did Cynthia Wooten stay involved with the fair?
Cynthia was, I want to say, about 12 or 13 of the initial years Cynthia was there, and then she moved down to California. Mm-hmm. She was there as it became, it originally wasn't called the Oregon Country Fair. It was a Renaissance fair, and then the Country Fair took on the trademark of Oregon Country Fair about year six.
Okay, so a little while into the actual run is when it took on the name. Now, when you talk about the fair getting close to 50 years now, I mean, what is the appeal and how do you position this to people when you're talking about essentially a third, maybe even a fourth generation of visitors beginning to show up for it?
You know, I think the appeal is timeless. When you're there and you experience the event, which is, you know, unique every year, you know, I liken it to this flower that blossoms for 3 days in this special place. Part of it is about the place as well. But the gathering that happens on that land just seems to be magically inspired every year. And so, you know, to me, that's the call, the siren call to come back and experience that familiarity, that reunion of spirits is at the core of this. And the psycho-spiritual rejuvenation that comes with that for so many people that attend make it an event not to be missed. And more than an event, there really is a familial, you know, a spiritual reunion that happens out there.
So let's talk about the fellow passenger on the plane situation when you say, hi, yeah, I run the Oregon Country Fair, and somebody says, what's that? How do you respond?
You know, it takes a little while. It's hard to do the elevator speech for the Country Fair. There really is no 30-second version. You know, without a sense of context and history, it's impossible to describe. And so I usually start there and say you have to experience it to get a real understanding of it. It's not something that you can just relay to someone. We can describe it ad nauseum, but it really is this thing that if you're not participating in it, if you're not there being carried away by it, it's hard to get your head around. It's an emotional experience as well as a cerebral, sensory experience. So, but to answer your question, I guess the thing that I start with is that it's, you know, this very, very special woodland setting, you know, arts and crafts and music, entertainment festival like no other that is inspired by the spirits of the woodland.
We are talking to Charlie Ruff about the Oregon Country Fair, which is coming back to Vineta the weekend of the 10th, 11th, 12th of July. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange and maybe share some memories of the Oregon Country Fair. There are enough people around here who have been to many country fairs dating back, 48 years now. So you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So for the folks who don't know it that well, what is there to do? And just by way of comparison at the outset, how different is the country fair from your average county fair?
Well, the country fair, to start, we really don't have livestock. That's probably one of the more notable distinctions. We have 18 stages of entertainment. The entertainment ranges from, you know, rock and roll and jam band kind of music to reggae and folk and funk. We have multiple stages that are dedicated just to vaudeville. I think the fair is actually really one of the key generators of the vaudeville revival that's happened in the Pacific West Coast in the last 30 years. So the vaudeville is pretty amazing. We have interactive performances where people can learn to use motion arts like juggling and poi, hula hooping, just all sorts of different things that you can actually get involved and participate in. There's action performers that do kind of adventure juggling, for lack of a better way to put it. And over the last few years, we've started a dance program, and we developed this gigantic dance pavilion with a hardwood floor that has really taken off. We have a dance program that includes participatory as well as exhibitory dance, so different troops will get up and show their wares, but then folks are invited out on the dance floor to participate as well. And it's amazing how much yearning, how much hunger there was for that.
I'm still fascinated, as I am every year, I think, by the reemergence of vaudeville in any sense. I mean, so there must be other venues in the West Coast where people are able to do vaudeville acts.
There are, particularly in Seattle area, seemed to be the place that it kind of also took root about the same time. So there's a lot of troops that do festivals up and down the Pacific Northwest and the Pacific Coast that actually are centered in Seattle. But most of them really got their footing again at the Country Fair 25 or 30 years ago.
All right, so that's the kind of stuff you can see. But just the day-to-day stuff of the Oregon Country Fair has long been a hallmark of the fair to be sustainable and environmentally friendly. Talk about those efforts.
Well, the fair has multiple prongs for those efforts. We have for years tried to approach a zero-waste event. Events by design are inherently not sustainable. You have to bring materials and goods from one place to another to a location to be able to support that kind of population. We understand that, and we work really hard to try to offset that. We have a recycling crew, a crew of volunteers that's 150 people strong, that's just dedicated to handling the recycling efforts at the fair. And so they go out starting at 4 in the morning every day, before the fair opens to the public, with massive trucks. They go out and they pull all the recycling from the fair. They take the trash. We compost everything we can possibly compost on site. We started a durables program, so we have 85 food booths, and the only cutlery that you're ever going to get from those food booths is stainless steel, and we manage a program that has about 300,000 pieces of cutlery for the three-day event. We proved that's actually an environmentally sustainable net positive effort to use sustainable cutlery in an event like ours. And there's many other things we do. We provide a free bus service. We partner with the Lane Transit District to bring folks the 16 miles from Eugene for free round trip to help minimize our carbon footprint. And, of course, we have a whole stewardship for the land program with several other crews that's all they do year-round, is maintain the 446-acre campus that the Country Fair takes place on.
And you do own that site, so you mentioned composting on that site as well?
Yes, we do some composting on the site. We have, again, you're right, it's important to point out that we own that. The nonprofit organization of Oregon Country Fair owns the 446-acre property outright, and that makes the fair a fairly unique festival. When you look at comparisons like Burning Man, or Moisture Festival, or Bumbershoot, none of those organizations own the land that they actually do their event on. And so as owners of the land in sort of the Western sense, we prefer to think of it more in terms of stewardship, that we're just currently holding the torch, as it were. We feel a certain extra responsibility to make sure that we take care of that place.
Is the Country Fair, in a sense, part of an unofficial circuit, including Burning Man and Moisture Festival and the like?
Well, I think that I've heard the term used, tribal revival, about the West Coast circuit of festivals. I would say, yes, we are. In some senses, I would say the Country Fair is kind of the grandmother of all of that, whole movement. It's certainly the oldest by far of any of those events. And there's an awful lot of the core group that comes together to do fair every year that ends up, working through a lot of those different shows. It's amazing how many volunteers go from Country Fair and then go down and are actually part of the staff at Burning Man and work at some of these other festivals, festivals here in Oregon, like Beloved and those kind of things.
Charlie Ruff is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the general manager of the Oregon Country Fair, coming to the woods near Veneta the weekend of, was it July? Is it 11? No, wait, I've got the dates wrong here. Is it? What are the dates, Charlie?
It's 7, 8, 9 this year.
7, 8, 9, okay. Weekend after the 4th of July. How much harder logistically is it to pull off a fair the way you do it, where you're trying to be zero waste and be sustainable?
Well, it's almost impossible to really achieve that. But we reached a goal of about 95% waste free 7 or 8 years ago when we were at the peak of our efforts. But it does make everything a little bit harder. I mean, you really have to be thoughtful well before the cycle and lay the groundwork to make sure that you have the infrastructure in place to support that. One of the hardest things, just to do simple recycling at any event, even the country fair with all of our track record for this, is the education of the public. So, you know, you can't just put a kiosk out there and expect people to sort things properly. For whatever reason, that doesn't happen. So you end up staffing that, and then we have a staff presence at our recycling kiosk that help people, you know, sort of figure out what goes where, because it doesn't take much to really ruin a specific recycling or composting stream, depending on, you know, if folks aren't paying attention. You know, I think the other inherent challenge is that we're in a temporary setting. You know, the vast majority of what we pull out every year, we put away after the event. So we take 6 or 7 weeks before the event to put everything together. And it looks like it's all just organically there year-round, kind of nestled into these really great little woodland settings. But then we carefully take it all apart afterwards and store it back up out of the floodplain for the next cycle. And so it's an amazing feat, and it really happens because of the tens of thousands of volunteer hours that come together to make this event happen. If it wasn't for the love and the blood, sweat, and tears of those volunteers, this thing would not be going right now.
I noticed I guess they're not volunteers. Is the security force paid?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
Our security force is very unique. We actually have 5 security crews that staff the entirety of the site, and we do all of our own security, and we go through, we've evolved a whole sort of system of security trainings that build on sort of traditional security models, but with our own spin. All of our security crews and staff people go through a process called humanistic intervention training that teaches, you know, how to do interactions with folks that make them seem less like a security interaction and much more like how can we help you, humanistic interaction, not just seem that way. I mean, really are that way, to de-escalate and to ground and to respect what people are going through. Typically, when you're involved in any kind of incident, the person that's really the center of the incident is going through something. And so understanding that and not just looking at it as like you're a problem, how can we help you as part of the model. And I think the fair does that uniquely. In fact, some of those programs are now being actually captured on video and started to be shared with the rest of the world because it's been such a successful model for us.
So I have to ask this, too, about the Oregon Country Fair. I mean, it's a drug and alcohol-free event officially, but with a bit of a rep from previous years. And I wonder if the legalization of marijuana for personal use in Oregon has created some issues in the last year or two.
Well, you know, initially I thought that might be the case. But frankly, you know, we just follow the law the way that it's written. And, you know, ultimately, I think most of the folks at the fair are very appreciative of the changes in the law to legalization, as it were. That being said, the law is very clear that in public spaces, you're not, allowed to consume. And so our practices haven't changed at all from what they were 3 years ago before the law changed. Our practice is consistent. You can't use drugs or alcohol, in the public portions of the 8 during the event hours. And that just is how it is. And that's what the law says. So that's what we do.
So put parents at ease, though. I mean, lots of kids go. I can imagine a few parents are concerned in advance about their kids seeing people impaired by some substance, or they don't want them seeing bare breasts. I mean, what can you do to assuage the concerns of any parents?
Well, you know, I think the fair has, every year the fair becomes more family friendly. And that's an effort that's really been, intentionally pursued for the last 25 years. Early on, it was kind of like the Wild West out there. The fair has, I think, really a sort of overblown legendary reputation from back in those days. But I think the fair is magical for kids of all ages, and it really is. It's a wonderful place to bring your kids. It's as safe as an event as you're going to find out there for those kind of things. You know, everyone looks out for the kids on the path. If your kid wanders away, they will be found so quickly. And we have a whole program that we call Found Children. We don't call it, lost kids. because that implies that the child is lost. We found the child as part of our security crew. We have a whole process to reunite them with their parents, and you know, and that happens out there. We're on a big campus with a lot of people, and sometimes a child will wander away. But they're always, we've always been successfully reuniting folks. And there's lots of activities that are geared just for the kids. You know, if when I think of the things the kids are exposed to on TV and the media, if the worst thing that they see out of country fair is an exposed breast, I think we're doing pretty well.
So, Charlie, for the people who've never been there before and they choose to go this year, what's the one thing above all others you'd recommend they see?
Well, you know, I think the experience for most people is that, you know, when we do sort of polling and we try to gather data from folks, you know, the one thing consistently most folks come to the fair for is to people watch. So you don't have to work at that. You can just pick a spot and let the fair go by, and you will be endlessly amused by the costumes and the outfits and the games that people are playing out there. That being said, we developed a new area for the public in what used to be a camping area for staff a couple years ago that's called Xavanadu. And it's about 6 acres of space that really is just a magical, you know, new playground in terms of public space at the fair that has all sorts of different program works. We built a dance pavilion that has this gigantic wooden dance floor. This is this open dance pavilion that's really gorgeous. And our dance program, I'm just amazed by how well it's taken off and been embraced. I had no idea that there was such a hunger for that kind of thing. And so there's participatory as well as expository dance at the stage, different troops showing you what they do. We even have a thing called the Work It Shop that teaches people how to do the basic steps before they go over to the dance stage and actually get involved with what's happening there. And then we have a canvas in that area for large-scale art. And so there will be some really big art pieces that you can actually come and interact with, some large puppets mm-hmm. that you can drive around yourself, places where you can get paint on your hands and get involved in making art, and just some mind-blowing art installations that is part of our art program that we've been doing the last few years as well.
Always something great at the Oregon Country Fair, July 7, 8, 9. Charlie Ruff, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.